Yes, yes.
All right. Well, we're recording now, so don't say anything weird. Like you're when you do your.
I'll let Pearl say something weird.
Hey, come on now.
You know, so this morning she goes, hey, Phil, you have to buy this vitamin C. If it's not there, then you don't have to buy it. And I'm like, honey.
I don't understand anything you just said.
So I'm teaching her some English and she says, you have to buy something, but you don't have to. I'm like, no. Would you like to buy it? Right?
Would you like to fly on my beautiful balloon?
It's common sense.
Way up in the sky. Remember that song, Freddie? April 20th. Is that what that is? All right, Phil, today we will call this Ed Returns. Ed and his sock. Return. How about that? And Fred, we'll get to Freddie. Mm-hmm. Freddie. We will get to the emails and, of course, our government commitments. Here we go. Phil. All right. Phil. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I have this really dirty song. I was going to play it for you before the show to see if you thought it was appropriate because it's super dirty, but it's kind of funny. I don't know now. I'm nervous.
Do you think I should pass along to the censorship board? Right?
Do you think I should play it and then just say, "Well, whatever," because it has the C word in it, but it's kind of a fun dirty ditty. Should we start with a dirty ditty? What do you think?
Sure.
Like seriously though, like, and if it goes. Like, if you don't like it, I'll stop it. But it's just a cute, dirty ditty. Why don't we start with a dirty ditty, Phil?
I thought we were dirty.
All right, have a listen to this.
Just play it.
Ready, boys?
Oh, fuck, shit, piss, damn, cocksucker, pussy, asshole, cunt, motherfucking dirty whore, shat onto my lunch, piss, goddamn, bitch, suck my dick, Jesus, Harold, Christ, shit, bitch, cocksucker, goddamn, motherfucker, pussy, asshole, cunt.
All right, there you go.
Ah, crap. The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa. Gig Sky, The Chambers Plan, Clear Air Solutions, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, SafeTech Security, NextHome.ca, DraftKings, Red Light Holland, City Parent, and our newest sponsor, HealthGate, providing digital solutions to improve health outcomes. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, our Twitter handle is Humble Fred Radio. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
You know, one of these days, and it'll be a fun day, I think one of these days, you and I, along with Fizzy, Dan Daru, and whatever guests we have, I think we should do, just for fun, a version of the Humble and Fred show as a podcast. And what I mean by that is, like, maybe we make it a little bit longer, like it's 2 hours, but we play songs, like play a few songs. Do you know what I mean? Would that be too weird for people?
No, sure. Why not? What's the point?
I don't know. Just kind of like a throwback, like a, you know, just a nostalgic thing for folks, you know, where we actually recreate a couple hours of the 1997 or the 1998 Humble and Fred show for people.
I think Dan has tapes. We could just take segments out of those.
Oh, a lot of people have tapes, my friend. Hang on a second here.
Hold on. Ow. I have tapeworm.
Yeah, I hope you don't, Phil. I hope you don't. I hope you're joking. Ed the Sock is back on the show. Bar Paluskowicz talking security. Dan Duran, of course. Fizzy's there. He's got some great stories about his wife. And there's a special Hundy P Patreon pizza party, early bird, round table, whatever you want to call it. It's tonight between 6:30 and 7:30. If you're not a Patreon yet, great day to sign up. Because once you sign up, you'll see the posting that includes the link to tonight's secret Zoom meeting, which will be broadcast on Facebook Live. and put out as a podcast tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a fantastic concept. It really is. And it'll be our second crack at it. The first one was great, interacting with all the people that, you know, enjoy the show. I think it was very productive, and I think it was entertaining for those that are part of it. So let's do it. Let's ramp it up. Let's do it again.
Yeah, we're doing it.
The sisters, I see, are all set to be on the show again.
Yes. Yes, they are. And they're very nice people, the sisters.
Was it on what? I think it was on the Waltons. Remember there was two sisters that lived together on one of those shows, the Waltons or Little House in the Prairie.
I do not remember that.
Oh, well, I see, this is bad. I remember stuff like that.
I know, anyway, you do.
Those sisters remind me of those sisters.
Well, they're very, listen, we're both happy to have people, you know, that listen to us. I'm just looking here on one of the posts. Anyway, if you the idea is you need to become a Patreon or a patron. Go to humbleandfred.com and you can sign up for as little as $2, and it's tonight. And but anyway, before we get any further into this show, we've got to talk about, of course, the vaccine, the rollout, the government. Come on, people.
Come on, people now.
You know, Ontario's, my brother.
Ontario's COVID-19 vaccine plan is helping to stop the spread and save lives. Until we're all vaccinated, we need to stay the course. Wear a mask, wash your hands, keep your distance. We've come so far together, and thousands of people across Ontario are getting vaccinated every day. Your turn is coming soon. Visit ontario.ca/COVID vaccine plan or call 1-888-999-6488 for assistance in 300 languages. Paid for by the government of Ontario.
I don't do that anymore.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought I told you that. It's my fault. Even though it is paid for by the government of Ontario.
All right. Take it back.
No, okay. Here's Dave Grohl, Mick Jagger. That's all right. I'm not, you know, I'm not super in love with it. I do like this song, though. You made me think of it.
Love is but a song to sing.
See how quickly that just seamlessly came in underneath? I'm just going to start DJing now.
You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry.
This is a campfire song where the stars are out bright, just sitting there. Maybe sipping some scotch, or you've just had a little, you know, a little quarter piece of shatter.
Oh, yeah. A little quarter piece of what?
You know, that shatter chocolate my son gave me. And yeah, you know, that's what this song is.
But if you have scotch and some gummy, what song?
At the same time.
No, but I'm going to say, what song isn't going to be good around a campfire? All right, we've got a couple of emails to get to. I thought we would finish off the week because people are so nice to us.
Hello, people now.
Hello, people now. All right. Freddie, I'm just going to open them very quickly here. Why don't you start with the first one from Chris Evans.
Hey, hey guys.
Hi, guys.
It's Chris Evans here. I was catching up on some past episodes and caught the Ron James interview. Was blown away. The chemistry between Howard and Ron was amazing. Mm. And what a great great guy Ron came across as. Can't wait till you have him back. Wanted to share the episode with friends, but couldn't figure it out. Okay. Is there an easy way to help promote you guys on Facebook by sharing some of your great work? Well, yes, of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. It's very basic. Maybe, I don't know, Phil or Mike Boone or somebody can
It, you just hit the share button. There's literally a button to share whatever video or content we put up. You just hit share.
And share it as a message if you're ashamed of us.
Share, what was that, Phil? Share what?
Share it over Messenger if you want to just send it to someone. And
if you're ashamed of us. Yeah. I like that. Yeah, just keep it on the down low.
Here's a secret.
Well, isn't that nice? Thank you. I'm going to skip over, Freddie. I'm skipping over to the question for Howard. So when we come back, we still have the two above it. Because because this email has been here since a week or so, and I kept meaning to respond to it on the air. It says, hi, guys.
Hello, people.
From Wayne Gao. Says, I love the show. I've listened almost daily since the beginning. As others have said, you've been an excellent distraction through this past shitty year. I think I cut off. Now I can see I cut off the email. Anyways, he goes on to tell us he also is accessing. He wants to access our sponsors. He lives in Western Canada, and he's looking to forward to more entertainment. He said, Howard. A question, if it's not too much to ask. You mention often that getting a golf club in a kid's hand early is important to introduce him to the sport. He's got some grandkids. I'd like to introduce him to golf, much like your grandchild.
We're going to the range today.
With Johnny, what are we calling him? Johnny?
Golf Shot.
No. Johnny Golf Shot is good.
Johnny Four Wedge?
Anyway, he wants to know... You know, what's the best way? And I would tell you, I did what do for me was easy because my dad, you know, played fairly regularly. And what he did with me and my brothers is he let us caddy for him a few times just to get a feel for the golf course and just sort of, you know, I remember spending evenings in the summer with my dad in the backyard, you know, chipping golf balls back and forth and, you know, and doing what you're doing with Johnny, you know, taking him to a driving range, put a club in their hand. But I would tell you what I said to Fred about his grandson, Wayne, is, you know, let kids just hit it however they want for a long time. Like, don't the caveat I would say to anyone listening that wants to introduce anyone to golf, but especially kids, is don't try and teach them anything. Just let them go. Until they start to get some of that motion. You know what I mean? Like, think about how we all learned how to play hockey. We just learned by watching other people and kind of figuring it out on our own. And I think for a good period of time, before you want to start formal instruction, early on, I would just say, go and hit it and enjoy yourself and have a nice experience. As opposed to being like, am I holding it right? Because I think that'll turn kids off.
Totally.
Anyway, that's what I would say to Wayne.
You know, my question, and maybe I've asked you, I forget the answer because I often forget things. When you first introduce them to a golf course, you know, if a kid's hitting it 20 yards at a time, it might aggravate the people behind you. How do you first introduce a kid to a golf course? Do you have them in the cart with you, and then when you get around 30, 40 yards away from the green, let them get out and hit it then or something?
Absolutely. Or go to there's lots of little nine-hole executive courses where you can get out there in the evening. And a lot of courses now have kids' tees. But what you just said is bang on. That's what I would do. Take them out while you're playing. For two reasons. One, you know, you bring Johnny to the golf course once you get out there and he has an idea. Mm-hmm. Then he sees how the game is played a little bit, gets a feel for the etiquette of it. That was one thing about Lou Glassman. And I know if my brothers hear this, they'll smile because my dad was so, like he was in a lot of things in his life, but very big on the etiquette for us, where to stand, what to do, where to go. Even and those are the things, it's funny because oftentimes, even now, guys will say, oh, you don't want to play with me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'll play with anybody that knows where to go while we're all playing because you can enjoy yourself with anyone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's when you're just driving halfway across the greens and stuff, you know, the etiquette's really important, not because it's special, it's just that it makes it easy for you to play with anybody. Wayne went on to mention something about, because we were talking about cooking protein, and we had another conversation yesterday about how I've been screwing up steaks and roasts and things with Chef Jordan, but he talks about sous vide cooking. And I want to get into it now, but I haven't tried it. My buddy Dave does it. Have you ever done that? sous vide cooking?
No. No.
He says he swears by it. So does Dave for cooking proteins. But I've never done it. What happened to Fred?
Fred, you're muted.
You muted yourself.
Okay. I was just coughing.
I'm sorry. Okay. So there you go.
Explain it.
Explain what?
That system of cooking.
But, so you're boiling it in a bag,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. You put it in a hot soup. No. But you put it in hot water. And that breaks down the protein.
Gizmo that keeps the temperature.
You know, oh, that Phil, one. Okay.
I had a conversation with Dave White recently, and he swears by it. He says the best ribs he's ever made is from sous vide cooking. Anyway, here we go. Let's go back to Alan Matheson, Fred.
All right. Hello. Nice to see Alan is checking in again.
Yeah, man.
He says, hey, fellas, I just listened to the interview with Mitch Azaria. He does a good job. I think Freddie P needs to get out and explore Northern Ontario a little bit. Take a look at the Agawa Canyon train tours. Or the Gros Cap Bluffs. Mm. The Agawa Canyon is mesmerizing. It's amazing stuff in our own backyard. Oh, I'm going to be honest. I don't even know what you're talking about. I've never heard of it.
Neither have I.
I'm coming clean. And it's up north. I bet it is, and yeah. I'm going to do that.
Mm. Yeah, I'd never heard of those either. The Agawa Canyon. And I'm sure there are people listening going, oh, the Agawa Canyon. You must go see it. It's beautiful.
And they have the Agawa train.
Yeah.
So go up to the Agawa and pull train.
Yeah. Really? Is that your takeaway?
Hi, guys.
Pull your Agawa.
Hey. Hi, guys. Agawa going to the canyon.
Hey.
This final one is from R. Burns. He says, classic cooking phrases overheard today. How's your udder ring? I pulled it out too soon. Mm-hmm. Keep up the good work, boys. And thank you to everyone, Humble and Fred at humbleandfredradio.com. Because it's Thursday, and, you know, we're finishing off the week. You know, not the pizza party thing. I thought I would just play a little treat for my Freddy boy here. I'll have a listen.
I mean, I know, but it was nice. My mother never breastfed me. She told me she liked me as a friend.
fucking Rodney. I just came across this clip of Rodney, and I thought, oh, you know, I loved Rodney Dangerfield, but I haven't heard his act for a long time. Listen.
I mean, I know, but it was nice. My mother never breastfed me. She told me she liked me as a friend.
Have you ever heard?
Hang on one second.
I told my old man I'm sick and tired of running around in circles. He got mad. He nailed down my other foot.
It's just a couple more.
I mean, that's destroying my life. No respect. I don't get no respect at all. Well, when I was born, the doctor told my mother I did all I could, but he pulled through anyway, you know? I mean, I don't get no respect from anyone. Well, last week, my house was on fire. My wife told the kids, be quiet, you'll wake up dead.
I came across that last night. I said, I'm probably going to share that with the Fred man. He'll enjoy that. A little Rodney Dangerfield, yeah.
Have you ever heard Jim Carrey talk about his relationship with Rodney Dangerfield and how much Rodney loved Jim's dad?
Yeah.
And they became really good friends, Jim Carrey's dad and Rodney, because they had the same sense of humor. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stories. Because Jim and his dad would watch Ed Sullivan or whatever when Rodney would go on, or The Tonight Show, and just love him. And then, you know, Jim talks about how surreal it was doing that with his dad, sitting in Scarborough or whatever, and then mm-hmm. one day having such a close relationship.
No, I know. I've heard him talk about that, and the fact that Rodney was kind of like a second father. A lot, you know, Rodney's story, you know, as a comedian aficionado myself, I enjoy. Rodney gave up stand-up. Like, Rodney tried. He was a guy in the 60s. He had some success, and then you know, wasn't going where he wanted it to go, had a family. I think Rodney Dangerfield, the story goes, sold insurance. Like, yeah. he left comedy for like 10 or 15 years, came back in his mid-40s, and became a superstar. It was quite a, you know, one of those things where, you know, you just never know. You keep persevering. Hey, Freddie, before we get to our guest, Ed the Sock, which is coming up here, you know, momentarily, we do have a little bit of... Oh, Jesus. Come on, Phil.
We do have Before that, too, we should mention the big story of the day.
What is the big story of the day?
Did you hear about the Quebec Liberal MP who was naked on a conference call yesterday?
I can't wait to hear about it.
It's making the rounds.
Can't wait. Also, we've got some... I thought one of the big stories of the day, actually, was the shocking pandemic news, which we'll get to after we take care of this business.
Hey, the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Go to chamberplan.ca today. Get a free quote. Oh, yeah, it's all there. And listen, don't be intimidated. You think I got a small business? I can't afford this. Give it a shot. Find out what it will cost you. They can design something for you. They have different tiers. It can work. It really can. Give your employees, you know, prescription insurance and dental insurance and travel insurance when we can travel again. And they have certain other products. Too many to mention right now under the umbrella that really come in handy for those that might otherwise not be able to afford it. So it really works for everybody. 30,000 Canadian businesses, part of this. They've been around for 40 years. Again, it's Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. Chamber Plan. Go there today. Chamberplan.ca. Get a free quote. There you go.
All right. And don't forget Red Light Holland. Todd Shapiro's company. He's the CEO of this company. He's got a market cap of over $100 million. This is Shapiro used to be our intern, for God's sake. Red Light Holland is a publicly traded company. Publicly traded on the CSE. Their ticker symbol is TRIP. That's TRIP. They're engaged in the production of magic truffles in the Netherlands, Phil. Netherlands.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Have you been?
Fancy and free, yes.
Have you been to the Netherlands?
I've heard of them, yes.
Oh, okay, so you've heard of them, but you've not been. Great. Magic truffles are there under the their brand of iMicrodose packs, sold online in the Netherlands, and they're available at iMicrodose.nl. Here in Canada, you can be part of a positive change and a movement that Todd is spearheading at iMicrodose.ca. We're going to catch up with Todd again next week and have a conversation about the effects. And I know we spoke to him earlier about some of the benefits psychologically and how microdosing is going to help replace, again, a lot of the, you know, the opioids and things that people are addicted to, hopefully. Anyway, this is a 3-month partnership, and always do your due diligence. Speak to a financial advisor before considering buying stock. So the big story of the day.
Well, yeah, it's the front page news, eh, Howie? Because it's nice relief from COVID and all the heartache and anguish that that brings. Quebec Liberal MP William Amos yesterday went for a jog. And, you know, it was one of those things where he flipped on his computer. Now, this was an internal video conference, but somehow Canadian press got a hold of it and threw it out there, apparently. But what he did, he went for a jog, and I guess he was running behind or something, turned his computer on, and then went in and took all his clothes off. Maybe he had a shower or something, and then walked out stark naked into full camera view, and of course, screenshots. Can't do anything like that nowadays. But, you know, this sort of has a neat story. Yesterday in the Quebec legislature, somebody from the opposition stood up, and they had some fun with it, like saying, you know, we know you have a good physique and everything, but you might want to be a little more careful next time. It's not like a Jeffrey Toobin thing where he was beaten off or anything. It really was a mistake.
I'm proud to be a liberal.
Beaten off. I love that. That's one of my favorite phrases of all time. That's how you know you're from the 70s. That's what we always, the guy was beaten off. Jesus.
But there was none of that. He wasn't touching his junk or anything. He was walking out actually with a cell phone in his hand, and he's looking at the cell phone. And, you know, it's like me with this mute button sometimes when I'm coughing. You know, you click, you double click, and you think you're on and you're off. And it happens. And again, he wasn't doing anything devious, so...
I'm looking at it now. It's pretty good.
It's all in fun, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Liberal MP caught naked. Yeah, well, he's, you know... So what... How is that? How does that work? You just throw the computer on? Because I'm, you know, we do this every day. You know, I open the Zoom room. I see you coming in.
Maybe he dragged his mouse out or something.
He's a young guy.
Remember, you can start and stop video pretty easily, right?
I'm thinking maybe he's in a condo and he's got it set up in his dining room. And, you know, and you walk right into the bathroom and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your bathroom is like four stories above you, so that could never happen to you.
Not unless I wanted to.
Unless you wanted
you
to.
You just see that? You want to see it? Mm-hmm. You like it?
I thought he was using his wham to go, wang to go, here, here.
Like all right. Phil, you filthy monster.
But I, and I'm halfway serious when I say that diversion from all the COVID.
Yeah. No, I feel
it was because that story did make a big splash yesterday, and it was sort of some kind of a comic relief or something to smile at amongst all the other doom and gloom, you know, running out of vaccines everywhere.
Oh, and there's doom and gloom, my friend.
People lined up, and now the rolling average in Ontario is over 4,000 for the first time.
Well, if like, may I give you this report, young man? I have it right in front of me.
Do I want to hear?
Well, okay. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Canada now has administered at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine to 24.6% of the country's eligible population. But where's the... Why don't I... Oh, this is... Sorry, that's Wednesday. God damn it, fella. Here's today. This is the bad news. Canada's seven-day average of new daily cases has reached its highest point of the pandemic, marking a grim milestone amid the country's third wave.
Mm-hmm.
There are countries around the world that have yet to administer a single dose of the vaccine.
Yeah, like Singapore.
But I know, but... Personally, I don't like those comparisons because I just care about Canada, you know, and as a progressive, you know, first world country, we should be doing better. We should have done better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we really should.
But here's what I would ask. And I agree. The only thing is I agree with the caveat. Why? What should we have done? What did we do wrong? I don't have any of those answers. I mean, it's easy to say that, but what didn't we do, and why didn't we do that? Was there some? Did we not know that we were going to get vaccines? Was there?
Yeah, I mean, we dragged our feet on the ordering. We should have. I would say be a little more firm in calling in favors because, you know, this country's pretty good to the rest of the world generally.
Yeah.
As the United States is, let's be fair.
I know.
And I don't know whether it was, you know, a little more pressure calling in favors or whatever that is, or, you know, going forward now, maybe it should be produced in this country.
But why we don't not? Know
what
the,
happened.
The thing is, no one knows definitively, and there's nothing you can point to because there must be an answer. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying that there's not a good point to be made. I'm just saying most people don't really know why there was such a delay. Yes, Phil apparently knows. Go ahead, Phil.
Well, obviously we don't have the answers to everything in the pandemic, and there can be like no rights or no wrongs to the situation. We're just seeing it day by day. But the Federal Auditor General has been making pretty good points about what we've missed. Like we stubbed our own toes in a way because we used to make our own vaccines. We did until the 80s because it was sold off to a company that now makes it in Pennsylvania, for example. Like there are moments in Canadian history where, you know, we've come up with something and then we just shut the darn thing down. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of Dr. Tam, she was complimented for thinking with her own intuition when her own department didn't learn from SARS, let alone now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the report says.
Okay.
Yeah. So we stub our own toes a lot, too.
You know, even with the United States, and I know they had to look after themselves first, but I think they, and you know, it's loosened up now, but out of the gate, maybe been a little kinder to Canada. I mean, it goes right back to, you know, Ken Taylor. And you remember that whole thing, the, the movie?
We saved the hostages.
We saved. And again, I know that's a long time ago, but it's the type of thing, you know, you do for each other in our relationship. I just think, and again, I can't point to anything and say this, that this or that definitively. I just think it could have been better. And now the rollout. Same thing, and we're running out of vaccines everywhere.
Ken Taylor's a great example of that, because remember Argo the movie when they didn't mention us?
And by the way, don't think I don't think the Americans have done more than their fair share. I said this to you a couple months ago. I said, you know, Americans have a reputation of being, you know, amongst the most charitable in the world. And but I made the point they have to be charitable to each other because they don't have any other safety net, really.
No, but they're pretty good around the world too, as far as
I know
helping people. And but you know, you get countries like China and Russia that totally turn their back on world crisis, and the Americans are the first ones in there.
Well, they expect us to look at them.
Not the first in every conflict. They were a little late to the WW2 party.
Oh, no. I'm talking about disasters and stuff. You know, world disasters, and be it weather or whatever.
I'll tell you who's charitable right now. I'll tell you who's charitable right now, vaccine-wise.
Yeah, who's that, Phil?
Who? Yeah, Belgium, which is making all of our Pfizer vaccines, right?
Belgium.
Because their vaccination rate is less than us in Canada. They're sending vaccines all over the world, and they're okay with their own population being less vaccinated than Canada.
Here's an email that just came in, Phil, minutes ago from Bill. I think it's Chaput. Chaput. He says,
Chaput.
Hey, what's your Chaput?
Are you done now?
I'm done.
Chaput. Are you in the Chaput or on the long jump? Jesus. He says, now that you're on the dole, and then he has a little smiley face because, you know, we're working for the government. He says, you probably can't say much against the vaccines, but if the risk of catching COVID and dying are so much greater than blood clots, why not just use it across all ages? I read younger women have disproportionate problems due to the AstraZeneca being given to frontline workers early on who were mostly women. The low purchase price is a red flag for him, he said. They may be cheaping out. Just pisses me off that after all the worry and stress we've been through, the cure comes with, oh yeah, this might kill you too. For fuck's sakes, really enjoy the show. They're a bright spot.
Well, I heard a doctor say, though, like when you take the vaccine, yes, there's a chance, but it's a much less chance.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, that not everything in Bill Chaput's, you know, that's not all completely correct. But, you know, there are risks to taking any drug or medicine. That's why all those, you know, commercials you see on television for anything, whether it's Prevagen or whatever, the last 6 seconds is somebody saying, they may call anal bleeding and your eyes will fall out of your fucking head. So be careful.
Yeah.
And risk of death.
True.
It's with any drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously it's terrible that those women had blood clots, or anyone has, but there is going to be a reaction to any vaccine that's given. You know, but if you believe the internet, we're all now infected with Bill Gates's mucus or something. You know, like fuck.
We have a Microsoft smart card in our ass.
You know, that again, another... You know, another downside of social media. I mean, on the upside, social media might tell you where to go and get your vaccine or some ins and outs of what you can or can't do. Yet at the same time, you know, a lot of negos have access to it too and spread that kind of stuff, and people get riled up and just get your vaccine. Like, I mean, seriously. Really, the only downside is in 5 or 6 years, we all start to die because we took the vaccine. And you know that's not going to happen.
Let go your negos.
So does it? Did everybody want 5 or 6 years of testing before we got a vaccine? Christ, if we're rolling at 4,000 cases a day in Ontario, what would it be if we delayed the vaccine because of, you know, safety?
But I understand your point. The thing is, they are safe because it wasn't. I don't want to get into this right now. But it wasn't developed.
Oh, no, I agree. It wasn't developed.
Yeah, it wasn't developed a minute ago. Mm-hmm. These are all. It's all based on other science that was in existence. And again, someone sent me a long. Well, they sent us both a long thing that has all these stats and things that say it's not safe. But again, it's all. A lot of that is easily disprovable. But it comes down to what we always say. It's all just fear and human nature to try and make sense of things that are sometimes beyond our understanding. And that's why I wasn't trying to say what should the government have done. And no, we don't have the answers. But there's a reason it was botched. There's a bunch of different things going on that we don't really know. It's easy to say we do, but we really don't.
I get that. But at the same time, those things don't matter because the bottom line is it could have been done better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, everyone. Let's just switch gears now. One of Canada's...
Look at that.
He's got a crusty interior, but a soft underbelly like Toro Tuna. For many years, entertaining millions across the country, even briefly alongside myself on the eponymously named Ed's Night Party, a major moment in both of our lives. Welcome back to our program. Look at him. It's Ed the Sock.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. I don't know why you guys do this so early. You're in charge of your own show.
I know.
You can put it any time of the day, but you do it at the crack of dawn.
Yeah, we like to get it out of the way so we can go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you realize that if you just stayed in bed, you could do it later, and you wouldn't have to go back to bed.
Wow, look at you. It's been quite a while since we've had you on the show. What has Ed the Sock been up to in the last... How's the pandemic going for socks?
Yeah, can you even catch it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't got it yet. I have been tested, and I don't have it. And that's not a surprise, because I was pioneering social distancing before any of this happened.
Yeah, of course.
I stay the hell away from people as much as possible.
Yeah, listen, after all the women that you've been around, there's no way COVID could touch whatever is running around. By the way,
when you've been around that hot tub that I was around...
That's right.
Yeah, you want to talk about a environment to spread viruses.
Now, just quickly, not to get too technical, but in order to get the COVID test, don't you have to have a nose?
I have a nose. Can't you see it there?
Oh, there
it is. That little circle between his eyes.
Okay.
See that little semicircle between his eyes?
I just have a very small nose.
Oh, really? Which is odd for your people. Anyway. Hey, Ed the Sock, you know, you and I did a show together for a couple of years. I don't know if we've ever spoke about it. I know you haven't. But I was curious, who was your favorite... Because I have two favorite moments from that. But who was your favorite guests on those shows that we did on City?
I think Adam West and the amazing Kreskin.
I was just going to say Kreskin. And you know why I was going to say Kreskin? Do you remember that we went out for dinner with him before the show?
You know what? I vaguely remember that now. Until this moment, I forgot about it.
That was, for me, like a huge highlight. Because as a kid, I always thought Kreskin was like, you know, like amazing. And then there we were, Ed and myself and some of the people that worked on the show having dinner. And watching Kreskin eat for some reason was a surreal moment for me.
I know, because I thought he just absorbed energy from the stars.
That's right.
I didn't know he actually ate.
Watching him eat, I mean, that brings back to number one. Remember Ron Jeremy eating the sushi?
Oh, yeah.
With his dirty hands.
One of the most disgusting things we've ever seen.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, yeah, it was bad. And then Danger Boy and I had lunch with Robert Duvall one day at the Metropolitan Hotel, and he was having some dish with rice, and he kept putting his finger in the back. At the back of his teeth to pull the between his cheeks and teeth, and I thought that was weird too. Anyway,
one more guess for me that's we had, because I don't one of the things about those shows, I think we did like 60 episodes together, and the guests that we got, Adam West was a highlight, Kreskin was a highlight, but so was Penn and Teller for me, because, you know, they're...
Oh, yeah, when we went to Montreal.
No, the first time we had him on, I thought we had him on in the city studio.
No, we went to Montreal, and we got them when we went to Montreal.
Well, all I remember is that Teller, who doesn't speak, at one point got frustrated with you and just pulled you down behind the couch, which I just thought was funny.
Well, he was whacking. He was whacking behind the couch, and then he climbed behind the couch.
That's right. Are those shows still available anywhere?
You know what? City TV... were the people that libraried the first season, and then I took the second season. So I have the tapes for the second season. I have a couple of tapes from the first season, but the rest are lost to history.
No, it's just as well. Just as well. That hair thing, I was rocking some kind of major Jufro back in the mid-90s.
I don't know, you've aged fairly well. You look
thank you.
You don't look much older than you did then.
I tell you what, I feel older.
You looked old back then.
That's right. I was old in my mid-30s. Why are you here? Are you here to... What are you telling us? What's the message? Something to do with Much Music I'm reading here, but just... Are you okay?
What I love about morning radio, I never send press releases or information to morning radio, because it's always... No matter how much information you send, it's always, hey, Ed the Sock, so what do you got going on?
I got information here. You want to talk about Much Music and your new venture called New Music Nation? I got all the information. I was just easing into it as though
I was just easing. Stylistic thing.
Yes, that's what it was.
All right, now I understand. Basically, I'm launching a new online video music channel, multi-platform, with the spirit of Much Music. New VJs using social media and interactivity that's available now, and focusing on independent, mostly Canadian music.
Wow, that's quite an undertaking.
Yeah, great catching up with you.
Telling me what the hell was I thinking?
Thanks for coming in. Give us an... So you say multi-platform, so will television be part of that, or that doesn't matter anymore, I guess?
No, it doesn't matter anymore.
It really doesn't. Broadcast television.
No, if I had a television channel, I'd just be running CSI reruns like everybody else.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what I was going to say. If you approached Bell and said, I have this idea, we could put it on Much Music, and they'd say, but what are we going to do with all the Seinfeld reruns?
Yeah.
I actually did speak to Bell.
Oh, yeah?
And they were interested, and we were talking, and then everybody got fired.
Yeah, for you kids listening that don't understand that, there was a time on Much Music, MTV in the States, so there was a time when they actually ran music videos. That was the thing. And then they went, no, that's too much work. Let's just run old sitcoms. But Ed the Sock is here to tell you that New Music Nation is bringing it back. So where will it be? Who's on it? What are we going to see?
It's going to be on our website. It's going to be on YouTube. It's going to be, there'll be shorter versions and things on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok that'll draw people to watching the videos. I've got four new VJs from across the country that I have picked. Robbie Stevenson is a diagnosed schizophrenic and former drug addict and stand-up comic. He has a very darkly funny view of the world, and he's very, very metal.
By the way, Ed, when you said schizophrenic and former drug addict, it's almost superfluous to add stand-up comic at that point.
Well, I know. They tend to go together. It's a progression.
No, exactly. I wasn't even surprised that stand-up comic was at the end of that sentence.
Well, I mean, I could have said chef. I would have thrown you off completely.
Hey, who are the other people on your network?
Candy Marie is a very attractive woman who is also a cosplayer and a music writer. She won an award for her contribution to writing one of the songs from Canadian Idol, which I know, okay, that's a millstone. but she's very, very entertaining and easy on the eyes. And we've got Dez, who's out in Inuvik, Northwest Territories. And he's a filmmaker and aspiring professional wrestler. And he's going to give us, you know, a lot of indigenous music, a lot of world music, you know, sounds from all over the world. And Allie B, who's a farm girl, still lives on the farm, and she'll be providing more of the sort of roots rock music.
So I'm just trying to imagine what this will look like. Obviously, they will do their own segments from their own homes, right? Because
they're not going to be confined to homes. I mean, if you check newmusicnation.ca, it's kind of a crap website right now because we're in the middle of fixing it because I built the first one and I don't know how to do that.
No. Right.
But there's videos there. There's VJ bios. And that'll give you a sense of who these VJs are and what the stuff will look like. It's not all going to be shot in homes because the weather's getting better. People can go outside.
Sure.
So we can shoot stuff outside.
And jokey jokes aside, I like the fact that you're including some indigenous content for a variety of reasons, not the least of which.
You're that type of guy.
Who is, him or me?
You are, you know.
Me?
You like that wide, you know, include everything.
Well, no, I think it's time we included more indigenous voices, okay? We should get somebody on this program to represent that that community.
Daily.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We should have a report every day. excuse my partner because he's mocking me, but I do believe that we need to do more to bring up the indigenous content in the rest of the country because we're so smug thinking that we don't have any problems, but we do. And listen, if an indigenous voice can be on your network, I think that's great. That's all I wanted to say.
We've already had people submitting videos, and I've had some indigenous artists submitting videos, and it doesn't sound remarkably different. It's just what the content of the lyrics are.
Sure.
By the way, Freddie, I love the hair you're rocking there.
I did. A haircut, by the way.
Why, thank you, Sock.
You know, you've got that rugged Dan Haggerty as Grizzly Adams look.
Oh, thank you.
He does.
I like that one. Mm-hmm. Howard thinks I look like a woman.
No, that's not true.
A bearded woman?
I said no. He looks like he's the aging roadie for Leonard Skinner tribute band. Yeah.
But, Ed, what you just said that, because, again, I'm trying to visualize. So an hour of much music back in the 80s, whenever, early 90s, and an hour of your New Music Nation. How will they differ? Or basically the same presentation. So you have a host throwing to videos and then, you know, talking about the music around the videos.
Yeah, that's basically exactly it. And people say, well, we've got YouTube. We can find our own videos. It's like, yeah, but there are a million videos there. Like most things, most of them are crap. And you have to spend all that time looking for them.
Yeah.
In this case, it's not YouTube or New Music Nation. New Music Nation lives in the YouTube ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And we go through the videos and find the ones that have good quality visuals, good quality audio. Like the biggest problem always is you can't hear people's vocals.
Mm-hmm.
The music overrides the vocals.
Right.
And so we're going to find good quality music videos and present them for you. Plus present you with information about the bands, interviews with the bands, and a little bit of tomfoolery as well.
Now, in a second, I want to find out what part of the New Music Nation will feature the great Ed the Sock. But first, let me remind everyone, Ontario's COVID-19 vaccine plan is helping to stop the spread and save lives. Until we're all vaccinated, we need to stay at home and stay the course. Wear a mask, wash your hands, keep your distance. We've come so far, and thousands of people across Ontario are getting vaccinated every day. Your turn is coming soon. Visit ontario.ca/COVID-vaccine-plan. Or call 1-888-999-6488 for assistance in 300 languages. That's 1-888-999-6488.
If you were listening yesterday, you heard Tim Niblett, the retirement Sherpa. Tim, a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Another great segment, he came on and said, you know, what are you paying for financial advice? And then ran down different forms of payment and whether it's a good deal. And, you know, a lot of people nowadays, they're hung up on this, you know, what fees am I paying? When, in fact, in the long run, those fees are actually saving your money rather than investing all on your own, really not knowing what you're doing. At the end of the day, what is it worth? And again, go back and listen to that episode if that's your situation. You want a little more information. Tim Niblett, he's got all the information. Either side of the border, he's licensed on, again, both sides, helping Canadians and Americans, including many Humble and Fred listeners, theretirementsherpa.ca.
I'm just looking at, we've had lots of high-profile guests the last year from their homes on Zoom. I'm thinking about Lisa LaFlamme, Rod Black most recently. And I can't think of another guest of your, vintage, your profile, Ed, that's had I like your office. It's very busy. It's very... It's kind of cool. There's a picture in a frame next to a television there. Can you tell us who's in that picture?
James Garner.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's his Rockford Files picture.
I used to love the Rockford Files. I liked him, his dad, his buddy. Was it Angel?
Angel, yeah, the Weasley guy.
The Weasley guy?
Yeah, Angel always had some scam going.
I used to love that show.
By Rockford. Hi to Phil.
Oh, yeah, there's Philly. All right.
I didn't want to ignore Phil. I haven't seen Phil in a while. He's looking healthy. You're looking svelte.
Thank you. You've
obviously been on a workout regimen.
Oh, yeah.
So it's good to see you, Phil.
Here's the theme from the Rockford Files. As I just before our quick break there, what will Ed the Sock's presence be on New Music Nation?
Well, I'll be part of the video flow, which all VJs will be. It'll be different kinds of music mixed together. I'm going to have a show called Ed Smasher Trash, where I take new videos, and I have a panel composed of the audience. And we're all going to watch the video and decide if it's a smash or if it's trash. I'm going to be doing some fromage, as usual, making fun of videos that should have known better. Sort of ridiculous themes, ridiculous visuals, visuals that have nothing to do with the song, things I always did on Fromage.
Yeah.
And that's primarily where you'll and also Yo Canada, which is going to be completely Canadian. We will include some Americans and others in small percentages in the other stuff, but Yo Canada will be strictly Canadian artists.
And when will this launch?
We're running an Indiegogo right now, which is a crowdfunder, and we're going to that runs till the end of the month, and then when that's done, we're going to see how much money we raised, work out a budget, and we plan to start shooting and putting stuff up in June.
Amazing.
So it's pretty quick. By the way, if you want to give to the Indiegogo, there's lots of perks there, including doing a Zoom call with me or co-hosting a podcast with me and a bunch of other stuff. You can go to newmusicnation.ca and click on the Indiegogo logo.
A little pickle up my butt through all, the...
Well, that's a lovely visual for first
Jesus.
Thing in the morning.
Where are we going now?
Brian, ass.
The evolution of specialty TV in Canada, when all these... stations were licensed, like Much Music, they went to the government and said, please give us this license because here's what we're going to do for Canada. And look where we are now. Originally, they did. They invested in Canadian production. They hired all you VJs and people were making a check and bands were being promoted. Well, now it's been reduced to, Seinfeld reruns.
Now, fair, there's also Simpsons and South Park reruns.
Where is the commitment that was promised originally?
Yeah, the POP.
And the thing is, if you can't fulfill it, then shut down the station or something like you. If you're willing to produce this thing from top to bottom, what a great vehicle for it. How relevant television is, that aside. But a station that traditionally was music and Much Music. Like, why wouldn't they want that? I got to believe something like that would do better than Seinfeld reruns, which can be had on other stations and on some of the streaming services and...
Listen, Fred.
It bothers me.
Well, it's like it's not just Much, but I mean the History Channel. I think their mandate is if it happened more, yesterday.
Yes.
It's history, and the CRTC allowed all these stations to abandon their performance years ago.
Yeah, their promise of performance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you get the same programming. On all, like the same kind of reruns, like CSI Miami and crap like that, you get all the same shows on every channel. So there's no distinctiveness between, you got a History Channel, you mm-hmm. got the Outdoor Channel, you got any, it's all the same programming. And when I spoke to the new people at Bell, very friendly people, and they said they think this will be a success, and they gave me their blessing to go forward. Mm. But they said that they're holding on to the Much Music name for something possibly in the future.
Just a question for Fred. Is that a cocktail, like a gherkin pickle, or is it a full-on, like, kosher dill the size of Ed's cigar? Or
no, those little gherkins you were little, talking about yesterday.
You wouldn't even notice those. It's like a suppository. Hey, before we let you go, New Music Nation, that's Ed the Sock's new venture. Also wants to remind you that this guy that he knows, Stephen Kersner, has got a podcast along with Stefan Lawton's called Stefan and Steven. Well, before we let you go, I know that I know that you're politically aware. Just quickly, what is Ed the Sock's what do you think about, you know, the anti-vaxxers, the anti-maskers? What are your thoughts about that group of nitwits?
Well, they're nitwits. They're morons. I mean, I understand people wanting to think they're smarter than everybody else.
Sure.
But the problem is, the people who think they're smarter than everybody else are always stupider than everybody else. And that's why they feel the need to feel smart, because they spent most of their lives feeling stupid. And so they want to believe that they know something more than everybody else. And this puts them one leg up on all of us idiots. Also, I think that they want to deny the science, because wearing a mask and having social distancing is a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. And if they deny the science, then there's no reason for them to feel bad about not wearing masks or not social distancing. So I think they're cognitively blocking the science so they can continue to do whatever the hell they want.
That it's a great, funny you use that word, because it's cognitive dissonance is what all that is. It's like their relationship to the actual reality is based on what you said. I believe it's also based on fear. It's like they're afraid of it, and this is how it manifests itself. If they deny its existence, and they don't have to be as afraid of it. But are you going to be vaccinated anytime soon?
Who the hell knows?
are they vaccinating socks?
Yeah, where would you get it? Like in the heel or the toes? Like, you don't have an arm.
Well, maybe
on my upper shoulder, Fred. We're like everybody else.
Okay. Yeah, like he's got narrow. Listen,
I see.
He's got narrow shoulders.
Is that what you call
them? Those are narrow, very narrow shoulders.
Okay, excuse me.
All right. Well, listen, man. All of things aside, thanks for dropping in. When they back to the Rockford Files. When New Music Nation launches, we'll have you back and promote the debut. In the meantime, there's a Indiegogo chance for you to fund some of this. And I know that Ed the Sock would appreciate your patronage. How do people do that once again, Ed?
NewMusicNation.ca, and click on the Indiegogo logo.
Indiegogo logo. Listen, man, great catching up with you.
Yeah, you guys too. And see you later, Phil. Stop talking so much.
Thanks, Phil. Very chatty.
Good to see you, Ed.
Good to see you, Ed.
Guys too.
Peace and love, my friend. Stay safe and healthy.
Back to sleep.
Stay strong. There he is, Ed the Sock, everybody. New Music Nation. Yeah, I don't know if people know what we were talking about there. Just let yourself out. Can you let yourself out? Or do you need me to remove you from the meeting because you have no arms?
I'll go.
Okay, bye. There you go. What you were talking about for those cable channels that all came on. And, you know, there's a thing called the promise of performance. And that's an interesting question you pose about how, you know, if your promise of performance included this much, you know, they have things in there like spoken word ratio between, you know, video content and human content, etc. And I can't imagine how they got around that, except for the fact that it's Bell and Rogers and they can do what they want, basically. Well,
they cry poor. It happens in radio, too.
Sure.
Companies will go into markets and buy, say, a radio station that is religious or like oldies or whatever, and then buy it, promising to maintain that format. And then not long after they buy it, they try to change things to make more money. even if it's to the detriment of the audience. I know, like, and Ed's right. Like, the History Channel, they'll run, like, movies like Ben-Hur or The Ten Commandments.
No, no.
And, you know, like, I guess by the book, those are historical movies, but that wasn't the spirit of what the license was handed out for.
I know, but and that's what I would ask. That yeah, they cry poor, but the spirit of that POP, didn't include just constant reruns of stuff. By the way, could you do me a favor? Could you just quickly send me the Gig Sky intro commercial stuff? Phil, is your boss? I know your boss is standing by in the waiting room. So
absolutely.
At CDN Technologies, you're in an. Are you in an office?
I am in my office. That's right. And we share this lovely open space office.
And where's Barb right now?
Barb is in her office.
In her office, okay.
Just a little bit down here. It's a nice, cozy place, of course.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to find out all about. I want also, I'm going to admit Barb here, but we're going to be a couple of seconds. I've got a surprise. I have a surprise for Barb. I think she's going to love it.
And what with that?
That's a surprise. Hold on a minute. Did you send me the gigs? Oh, there you go. Mm-hmm. All right. Let me just put this here. How's that? Does that work for everybody?
You got a nice haircut there, Howard.
Does that work?
Okay. Here we go. Thanks, Fred. Since we've entered the lockdown. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, you go first.
No.
I want you to go first. And then Barb, I'm not sure if Barb can hear me, but I've got a surprise for Barb. I've been saving this for a couple of weeks. Okay,
basketball, right?
Yes, sir.
Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot in all these wonderful prizes when you use the code HumbleAndFred during sign-up. Playing daily fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with a DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on season-long fantasy, so now is the time to get in on all the daily fantasy action where DraftKings has even more ways to make it rain. Okay? With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players, so really, what are you waiting for? Head to the app right now. Download the DraftKings app now and use code HumbleAndFred during sign-up. This week, DraftKings is putting you in the action with a free shot of millions of dollars in total prizes. So that's code HumbleAndFred, and you can get a free shot at millions in total prizes. Again, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
I don't know what lockdown this is. Lockdown 2? Third wave? Lockdown 3? How many waves, Phil?
Lockdown 3.
Lockdown 3! Well, this copy still applies. Gig Sky is available to help augment your service and avoid slow internet connections. Your eSIM enabled can use Gig Sky service, not just your iPhone or Android. iPads and Windows 10 PCs with cell service can also use the Gig Sky eSIM. Of course, the hotspot is a mind blower. Mind is blown. Up to 32 devices share the data plan. I bet you Barb has a thing to say about security when you're sharing your data plan, but I'll tell you what, it's a godsend for big groups. Go to our website, HNF, HumbleAndFredRadio.com. Click on the Gig Sky badge, get the details. Right now, listeners, as always, have an exclusive discount code. Enter HF120 for $5 off a plan of $19.99 or more. More questions or can be answered if you have any. I got Rudra's personal number, but I would say the best way to do it is to go to GigSky.com. All right. A couple weeks ago, Barb, I don't know, did you hear me say I've got a surprise for you today?
No.
I do.
I didn't. But I was so happy to hear Ed the Sock. I was giggling and peeked over Phil's shoulder. That was like a fun one.
Sure. You know, I did a show with him for 2.5 years, and it was quite an experience. quite an experience.
That would be so much fun.
Well, it was interesting.
It was an experience.
It was an experience. Barb, a couple weeks ago, I was, you know, looking around social media, and I came across this stand-up comic. Unfortunately, I don't have this kid's name, but I heard this bit and I've saved it. And I thought, you know, and the thing is, 2 weeks ago, I was going to play it for you. And as soon as the segment was over, I was like, shit, I forgot to play this for Barb. So this sums up everything you need to know about passwords.
Gen Z and millennials have to deal with school shootings, terrorist attacks, police brutality, climate change, two economic collapses, and a global pandemic. Why do our parents think that it should also be our responsibility to remember their Gmail passwords? We're busy trying to fix everything, so if you guys could keep track of which ones are the dog's name and which ones are the dog's name with an exclamation point, we would appreciate it. Also, if you could upgrade your password keeper from manila file folder in the kitchen drawer to literally any digital format. We would love a Dashlane or a LastPass, but we are willing to go as low as a Word document called passwords saved on the desktop.
There you go. And now I thought you'd enjoy that. Because you know,
please don't go that low. Please go to a Word document on your desktop.
I love the fact that literally anything digital. And of course, that goes to what you're always telling us, which is, you know, be careful with your passwords and, you know, password keepers, etc. Barb Paluska, which is here. You can see her. She's an angel. Look, there she is. A whole lot of feck of Barb. I got mine, too. There we go. There we go. It's going to put that right there today.
Phil does a great job of hanging his side and things like that.
No, so he does. He does a very nice job. So, Barbie, let's get right to it. Warren Buffett says cyber attacks are the number one problem with mankind. He says even worse than nuclear weapons. Hackers are not physical distancing and cybercrime is on the rise. And here to tell you more about it is Barb Paluskovich.
It is. And you know what? I'm going to bring out, I know that this is like on the podcast, so people can't hear, but I know that some people are watching on Facebook Live.
Yes.
So I'm going to show my slide from my presentation. You know, in 2017, people paid out $3.5 million in ransomware. And in 2019, they paid out $7.5 million.
Just hold that up. No, just hold it up because that's cool. Because just a little bit higher. So, oh, I see. So, fit 1 million, 1 billion?
It's 7.5 billion.
Wow. Jesus.
It is. So, for all these people that think that they shouldn't be worried or they shouldn't care, like, victims include, like, celebs, Miley Cyrus, your guy Tiger Woods, your golf guy. Mm. Like, you know, it's happening to everyone. And when you get back down to like basics, you just have to be careful what not to click.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know that's so hard these days. However, you should never click on an email that asks for any type of personal information or account numbers or anything like that. Like, never click. Don't even reply.
Like, don't even click. Like, obviously, you don't fill in, like, you know, I get stuff from my bank all the time, which is phony, and it looks exactly like my entry into my bank account. Of course, I don't fill it out. So you're saying don't even click on it?
Don't even click on it. Just hit delete. Like, if you haven't initiated the interaction, they're not going to come to you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So this is a little segment Barbara has created for us called Five Things You Never Click. One is bad emails. Two is
websites.
Uh-huh. And
Fred, I have a surprise for you because I know we've chatted about this beforehand.
Okay.
And essentially, people always wonder, how can I get a virus or a ransomware through a website? So I picked out another screenshot. And what happens is it's in the code. Nobody looks at the code.
The metadata.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Nobody looks at that, but there it is right there. And this is one from a website. I won't say, like, you know, which one it's from, but essentially their website was spewing out ransomware.
Wow.
And people were getting it and it was all in the code. And then, you know what? They get their little notification from Rogers or Bell or whoever their internet service provider is to say, sorry, your website has to come down. Like, you know what? There's it's causing problems for the rest of the world, so to say. So things like restaurants, like, you know, they're not the greatest things, but we're all doing it right now because of the state of our...
So you're saying don't click on restaurant websites?
You know what? Bad websites... I'm not saying don't click on restaurant websites. What happens is when some industries are very lean when it comes to their IT security, like churches, you know, at the mom and pop restaurants, they're very lean and they don't know that it's happening. So those are like bad websites because they're easily infected. And things like porn, on the contrary.
Wait, there's porn not. On the internet? What?
Just a little bit. What? Just a little bit.
What?
Yes. So be mindful of the websites that you go to, because their downloads can be filled with viruses, and that's how these viruses and malware gets in.
So, okay.
So there's that. A bad text message is another thing you shouldn't click. Don't hit reply. Just go to block sender.
You know, I was going to ask you about that because I've found that more in the last year of getting text messages that are, well, you say they're smishing. What's smishing? Yes.
It's SMS.
Oh, SMS phishing, right.
Yes.
I can't tell you. I get them. And as we've said, they seem like they might be from our our bank or some revenue thing. And you're like, so you should just delete those.
Yes. And it goes back to, if you haven't initiated the interaction, it's, you know what, it's stranger danger. You know,
yeah, click, no kidding.
Delete. It's kind of like the evolution before we were getting on lists where we were getting a whole bunch of telemarketing phone calls on the phone. Now they're coming into texting because that's how technology has evolved in the marketing world.
All right. So when I get those and I reply with an expletive, I shouldn't even reply?
No.
Because sometimes I'll just, all right, F off and then just send it back, right? Yeah, no, I do that.
I've done that.
And so I shouldn't even do that. Don't play with them at all.
That's exactly it. And the reason why is now they know that there's an active person there on the other end, and they have initiated an emotional response. So now you're fair game.
You know, there's also those things. Sometimes you'll get emails from suspicious senders that look like they know you. And I have just a blanket. If I don't know that person, and sometimes it's offers from women. I'm just going to tell you that. You know what I mean?
Like, congratulations.
No, you know what I mean? Like, there's these weird little emails. It's like, oh, would you add me to, you know, no, I will not. so these are five things. The fourth thing is anything free. Don't touch it.
Yes. I always say the only thing that's free these days are smiles at McDonald's, and that's listed on their menu. So when you have to do updates on your computer, on your software, on your Roomba, like whatever device you have connected to the internet, don't just Google the update because you don't know where it is it's coming from. Go direct to the manufacturer and get it from them direct. Like, don't just get it randomly because you don't know where it's coming from. It could be from Russia. It could be from China. It could be from someone like down the street living in their parents' basement or at a hacking firm. Like, you just don't know. So don't click on
anything. So that leads to the fifth one, which is make sure you get your updates from reputable sources.
Yes. I guess another thing, if I go back and think about the other things to not click on that's free, are like PDF makers, video players, movies, and things like that. Like, people are always looking to get free stuff and to get like free updates and to update to the latest and greatest. So they have those two go together. You just want to be mindful.
So those are five things not to click. Before we let you go, you've got to tell us what to do to keep yourself safe.
Oh, well, back everything up. Like, you know, it's always heartbreaking when you lose for like a personal computer and you're losing wedding photos and baby pictures. Like, those you can't get back. And in businesses, you know what, some data is irreplaceable. You can't find it again. So back it up to a device that's not part of the network, like, you know, or a separate you know, an external hard drive for your personal things at home or in the cloud. So you have more than one location. There's a rule like 3-2-1, three copies, two location, and make sure you at least do it once. There's that.
Now say that again. I like that. Say that again.
Three copies, two locations, and make sure you at least do it once.
Okay. I like that.
Check on it. And the other thing is antivirus. Because of how the world is right now, and it's kind of, well, we're still in our pandemic, we're in lockdown number three, essentially your endpoint, like, you know, your computers that are out there are like the front line of defense. So you want to make sure that you have a good antivirus, because that might be the only thing that's protecting you. So make sure it's one that you purchased, like it's legit and that it's been updated. It's not like something that like Windows Defender from your laptop or your computer when you first bought it like 2-3 years ago, because it's expired. So something like that, a good antivirus. The other thing is a firewall. The firewall is kind of like having a... Everyone has an alarm system for their house. Like, you know, like, hey, someone's coming in. Like, sure. You know, the doors are opening. That's what a firewall does. But essentially with the internet, because, you know, the internet's not safe. So protect the information that's coming into your computer environment with a firewall, and also protect what's leaving. It's kind of like checking on to see what your teenage daughter is wearing before she goes out.
Come on now. Do you, I have a question before, do you recommend people call CDN Technologies? Is that what you're, would you like them to?
Yeah. You know what, call, you know, we started doing a lot of things for free. Like, you know, if you go to cdntechnologies.com/IT-scams, you can sign up and we'll send you our security awareness training for free. You'll get one email a week that gives you little tips on how to stay safe. That'll help you personally. It'll help you professionally. And we've been sending out copies of our book too, IT Scams, How to Avoid Being Ripped Off, for people that like to go old school.
Nice.
And have it in a print format. So that's been working quite nicely for us.
You know, Phil's going to Cambodia in a couple of weeks.
I know. I'm so
excited. You're not going to have to shut down your business now because you rely so much on Phil, aren't you?
You know what? I have to get two people to replace him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Two trainees.
I get it. CDNtechnologies.com. And in case you missed it, it's CDNtechnologies.com/IT-scams. Barb, all the best to you. See you in a couple of weeks. Hope you enjoyed your little password stand up today.
I did. Thank you very much.
Oh, sweet.
Bye, guys. Great.
Very good.
You.
Thank you, Barb.
Barb.
Phil, get to work. Barb is in the building. Go do your job, man. All right. Bye, Phil. Phil, are you gonna join us tonight?
Oh, yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay. Just want everyone to know, the Patreon little Humble and Fred get-together tonight. It's not too late to sign up. If you haven't become a member, Boone will be here to talk more about it. But Phil's going to be on with us tonight, as I think Dan Duran is, depending on what his schedule. But Phil says there's a chance, a slight chance, that he could be bringing a special guest with him to the party. I can just let everyone, you know, wonder what that could be, but it could be
the most special of all.
And the most special guest of all tonight.
Yes.
There's a chance Phil will be bringing Mrs. Phil. Yeah, Dan. No, I know. Really? Crazy, yeah. I know.
Oh. And it would be great. People could ask her questions and he can interpret it. It'd be fantastic.
And that'll be a special thing for our patrons. Eventually, when all of this gets settled out, when he goes to Cambodia and comes back, we're going to have a show that's just going to be all Pearl. Just us, Phil, Pearl, questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, it'd be like a sit down like Oprah had.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be on a patio
he
somewhere.
And I are going to be Oprah. Phil and Pearl are going to be them. You can
so they'll be on one side of the patio, yeah. And you'll be the other side of the patio.
You can be Philip. Dead Phil. Dan, will you be making the scene tonight again? I sent you the thing. If you're around, it would be great. Everyone would love to see you.
All right. What time is that again?
6:30 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm. If you were there, everybody would be digging that scene. Oh, all right. They'd be digging that scene. Yeah.
I can't wait. Okay. 6:30. Yeah. I'll write it down.
Well, I mean, if you drop in like, you know, a little bit later or whatever, like it, like I'd say 7 o'clock, let us, we're getting first half hour is just going to get to know everyone on the call and catch up, see how everyone's doing. Then 7 o'clock special guest, Dan Duran and Phil.
Well, good. I think my argument with Belle will be over by then. So,
oh, you have another one. And Dan, maybe as a little novelty, walk right out of the shower into camera view.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Just like that guy in Quebec.
Yeah, that was one of my stories today.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Uh huh.
All right. Yeah. Well, we had it earlier, but that doesn't mean that we can't have it again.
It would be.
Mm-hmm. But you know, you guys have covered it already.
I think our
Western correspondent at Dan Duran News, Tarzan Dan, tweeted out a pretty good one where he said, "Interesting that his name's Willie."
So, you know. Oh, clever! And then did he play 17 songs in a row?
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low.
Huh. Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchor man's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care, and his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
Goddamn, yeah, it is. Dan Duran's news today. Oh, God. Sorry, Dan.
It's sponsored by...
I know, if I just had a mouse.
If you had a mouse, it's a very fast way of navigating multiple screens, multiple windows.
Dan Duran's news brought to you by Condo Life Homes and Active Life Magazine. Nexthome.ca is how you get a hold of them. And of course, the latest Canada's largest award-winning free regional parenting magazine, cityparent.com. Enter and sign up to win a chance at a Craftsman toolkit, Dan. Ooh. Valued at $499.99. That's City Parent and nexthome.ca.
Mm.
All right, here we go, kids. It's time for this. Breaking news, Dan Duran.
After spending some quality time in St. Vincent de Paul Federal Penitentiary on the edge of Montreal, he moved to the U.S.
Is that a question?
No, it was a statement. It was a transition point here when I go to the music.
All right.
It was January 1920 when he set up a financial company that promised a 50% profit within 45 days or 100% profit within 90 days. He did this by buying discounted postal reply coupons, whatever they are, in other countries, and redeeming them at face value in the U.S. He was very convincing and popular. In reality, he was paying earlier investors using the investments of later investors. His name was Charles Ponzi. And he had a scheme. His scheme is named after him. Now, his financial fraud was inspirational to many who toiled over the years in the swindle space, but none took to the conning more than Bernie Madoff. While Ponzi took out the equivalent of $250 million in today's dollars, Madoff lightened wallets at around $64.8 billion.
Wow.
Yesterday, Bernie Madoff died April 14th in jail. After only serving 12 years of his 150-year sentence, he had 138 years to go.
Now, will they leave his corpse in jail?
I don't know.
Dan?
Good question. I noted.
Will his corpse have to serve out the rest of his sentence? like it would be like Weekend at Bernie's, except for the next 130 years. They just let it rot there.
You know, he dies at 82, right in that sweet spot. And they had asked for humanitarian reasons to release him some time ago, let him die at home. And much to the credit of the penal system in the United States, they said, no, absolutely not. He's got to stay in prison.
Yeah.
And then, did you see the story, too? Both his sons in their 40s, they're the ones that ratted him out, right? His sons.
I watched half of the movie.
I don't know the story.
So his sons rat him out, and you know, they're both dead now. They were both so embarrassed and so devastated. One of them committed suicide because of it all. Nice legacy, right?
No kidding.
Destroys his family. And then his other son died of cancer. Of course, that wasn't because of the Ponzi scheme. That was because of cancer. But it's just a really sad story.
Yeah, sad for them, but not as sad as the $64 billion that he fucking swindled from people.
Mm-hmm.
And he wiped people out. Absolutely, he did.
People like you and I, you know, who just had enough, a nice little nest egg for retirement, gone.
Gone, exactly. So, you know what? It's just too bad he can't keep coming back to life and dying and coming back to life. I know, it's a harsh, Dan. That's harsh times.
50-year sentence.
Yeah. You know, health is nothing to be taken for granted, guys. Okay, when it comes to keeping track of your health, a lot of people, you know, are wearing these wearable devices or special apps, Dan, that monitor your well-being. I don't know what you're doing to monitor your well-being. I don't know, maybe you take a thermometer in your pee hole, but I don't know, but you should be monitoring.
I ask my son every morning, am I alive? Am I looking good? How am I today?
By the way, I'm going to edit out thermometer in the pee hole before I send this to the client. Not all health monitoring systems are created equal. Health Gauge is a system that hopes to make overburdened healthcare systems more efficient and cost effective. It uses sensors like you get in the hospital, like electrocardiographs, blood pressure measurements, oxygen saturation, health rate, pulse wave velocity, and so many more, calories burned. And you just wear it. And they're pretty cool. I mean, if you go to the website, healthgauge.com, what you'll see is they've got several different models. The Health Gauge Genesis, the world's most insightful health solution, includes the heart, the health monitoring, all the things I mentioned, and the free iPhone or Android app. The data gathered by your Health Gauge can be used by your caregivers, patients, and healthcare professionals to make better decisions about healthcare. HealthGauge.com. Go check it out. It really is something, again, a lot of the men and women listening in our audience, you know, a chance to keep, you know, tracking. You were saying, Freddie, that... what were you talking about? Was it yesterday you're going to go get a checkup on your blood work and all that stuff? And your blood pressure?
Cardiologist, colonoscopy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going in for a tune-up.
Well, this is the kind of thing, the Health Gauge, if you wear it, it also gives you that information that you can share with your healthcare provider, healthgauge.com.
This is an ideal device for you, Howard.
I'm going to have three of them. I'm going to have them. One on every arm, and then just one I carry around just looking at it. No,
I have a backup.
I know. I said to you, years ago, Dan, I told you that I was going to ask Jesus for a MRI machine for Christmas. That's all I ever wanted, my own personal MRI. Dan Duran's news. Is there more, Dan, or do you want to just...
No, that's it, yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hang around for the Mike Boone update, or do you want to...
Oh, what's happening this coming week, and how we're
or doing... Or does that not interest you?
No, I'm interested. Oh, very interested. Always interested.
Toronto Mike is here. His podcast. It's funny because he just joined us on the Zoom room, and while he was waiting, recorded three new podcasts. Which is So a couple things. Toronto Mike is here. TorontoMike.com, Canada's longest running blog about Toronto. And, of course, Toronto Mic'd, the eponymously, I used that twice today, eponymously named podcast. This week, Chock-a-Block with fantastic guests.
How you guys doing?
But that's not why Mike's here. Mike's here to shill for us.
Well, I'm here for a variety of reasons, one of which is to remind you that Bernie Madoff, is it Madoff or Madoff?
Madoff.
Madoff. He also fleeced George Costanza. Remember, George Costanza made a bundle with his app to find the closest washroom, and he made a bundle and he lost it all investing with Bernie Madoff.
Was that an actual Seinfeld plot?
So here's what they did. They reunited Seinfeld inside of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's one of the great victims of Bernie Madoff. So.
That was a really cool, like that was probably... one of the sort of best, you know, shows within a show concept. It was just so well done. If you're not a Curb fan, that's where I would start, man.
Yeah, it's amazing because they, you know, they modernized the apartment, Jerry's apartment. So you got to, and everything kind of brought up to speed. And really smart and very interesting how they kind of gave us a reunion without doing a Seinfeld reunion.
No, I know.
What season was that? Was that recently or when?
Not too recently. Not too recently, but I mean, it was like one of the storylines in season 6 or 7.
Oh, okay.
It was really, really well done. And Mike's right. It was like a way to have a Seinfeld reunion inside the world of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. It was really cool. Anyway, let's talk about this program. Toronto Mike, the producer of Humble and Fred Radio. Tonight, we're up to... Well, why don't you reveal? We're one away.
Well, you just did it, buddy. That's the big number right now. We're sitting at 99. I thought maybe, you know, during this 5-minute spiel, a Hundy P would step up and push us over the edge. We could, you know, shout their names from the rafters. Just leave a comment in the Facebook. I've got my eye on it. If you can go to, there's two ways to do this. Go to patreon.com/humbleandfred, or if that's too much to type, click your bookmark for humbleandfred.com, and there's a big orange button that says become a patron. But do it now. Somebody, some Hundy P should do it right now so we could have the 100th patron during this appearance.
Push us over. And if you are the 100th Patreon, we have a special prize for you, don't we? We should have. whether you're 1 or 100, tonight between 6:30 and 7:30, we'll be having a little round table. We've done it before. If you're not a Hundy P, that's fine. You can watch it live on Facebook. If you're not watching live on Facebook, that's fine. We're putting it out as a podcast tomorrow. Anything else I should add?
Well, you know, giving a prize to number 100 isn't fair to the previous 99.
Agreed.
You know, we've got to be fair here.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should be fair. Dan, what do you think?
I think you should be democratic in all ways.
Yes. So,
draw from the barrel or something. I don't know.
Well, that's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. I think it's a good time to have it, too, at 6:30, you know, and, well, everybody's home, it seems, anyway. But, you know, in the evening when people can pull away from their workplace and participate. Fantastic.
There will be a prize at the end of April, though. I mentioned this earlier in the week. We're going to give away a charcuterie board. A buddy of mine, Thomas Andrew Design, is putting it together. It's got the Humble and Fred logo. It'll say official Hundy P on it somehow. And if you sign up for Patreon and become a Humble and Fred patron in this month of April, and all the people that have already signed up are going to make a draw, and somebody will win it. It's very, very nice, Dan. You'd love it. Worth a few $100. Toronto Mike, before we go, tell everybody on the show what's happening next week.
All right, let's do it. So Monday, it's the return of Ken Daniels, because we didn't get to the fun stuff last time because we had the heavy-hearted discussion about his son, the tragic story there. So Ken's coming back to shoot the breeze with you on lighter topics on Monday morning. And this is interesting because I'm a Toronto radio guy, but there's a guy in Rochester who just did 40 years on the air at a classic rock station in Rochester. And this week, or I think maybe last week, he retired. And he's going to come on. He's excited to talk radio with you guys. His name is, I should have this in front of me, Dave Kane, I want to say. Give me 2 seconds.
No, that's fine. And you know, I don't know if, when Fred and I were talking about it, not that you pushed back, but I just thought it would be an interesting conversation to talk radio with a guy in the States. And also, you know, not put him on the spot about American politics, but just talk a little bit about, you know, he's been doing this for 40 years. He's seen the rise of that right-wing narrative. He's probably got some perspective on it.
I think they call him Kano. I think that, by the way, I didn't push back at all because I think it'd be
No,
fun
not
to
you. I just thought we'd had, I thought somebody in our group.
No. Yeah, no, I did. I raised a couple of questions about it, but, you know, like often is the case, you reply and then, yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. I'm in.
And he's jazzed because he's got nothing to do. So this is very exciting. Yeah, no,
and this is where everyone that goes, everyone with nothing to do comes on the Humble and Fred show.
Hey, Willie on the Facebook lets us know that this is a Rochester legend. Yeah. So that's just across the lake. I can see Rochester like from my house.
I'm pretty sure he works at the same station as Brother Wheez. And I've been on that station years ago when I was doing stand up only. I came through Toronto and then we went to Rochester to a Yuck Yucks there. And I did the morning show on that station, or I was a guest on the show. So I'm curious to see. What it was like working in Buffalo all those years. And then who else do we have next week, Mikhail?
So following Kano there on Wednesday, we have a great friend of the show, Tony Clement, is going to come in, and it'll be a good conversation about national politics, etc.
Yeah. No, it's definitely, I told you a couple of weeks ago, he sent me an email about something I had said on the show. I can't remember off the top of my head, but we can revisit that. I told you guys I had received it. And, you know, we're going to talk with Tony, you know, a member of the Conservative Party, about how, you know, the right side of that's going to fuck them up from here till next Wednesday or whatever.
No, but I think, yeah, I remember you told me, because we had been talking about that, how, you know, they're going to have trouble recruiting new people to join the party because it's now got such stink on it. And then next week, Mike, rounding out the week.
Speaking of guys who need to come back and finish their stories, because we ran out of time, Leo Rowdens is going to come back.
Nice.
That was a great first appearance, but then we, you know, the schedule got in the way. So he's coming right back to chew your ear off a little more. And he's a great guest.
You know, Howard, you want to talk about him. What's it like to be on the same court as Michael Jordan?
Right.
Yeah. He's one of those names. One of my golf buddies asked who's been on the show lately, and I mentioned a couple people. Then I mentioned Leo Rowdens, and they were like, wow. I think the average person thinks quite highly of him and having him on our show. Of course, Dan, when I tell people that you're part of the show, they honestly, it's all they can do not to hug me because of COVID times.
Yeah. Well,
it's interesting that you had Rod Black on this week, and Rod and Leo are two of the day oneers. So 1995, the Raptors make their inaugural, you know, and both of those guys were covering the game. So they've been there from the Damon Stoudemire era to the current era post-championship, and Leo's got great stories.
Do you remember Damon Stoudemire's nickname?
Mighty Mouse?
Yeah, Mighty Mouse. Yeah.
That's right. Mighty Mouse.
I don't know. Mike, right, we both said the same time, but here's the thing. I'm 61, and I can't tell you why I know that. It's just there somewhere. Here's my thing. If I could be, other than Tiger Woods, I think the best job in sport is being the 12th man on the team. Because in basketball, when you're the 12th man, you hardly ever play. You make $3 million a year, and all you have to do is make sure the starters have a towel when they come off the court. I could do that. High five, everybody.
That $3 million would allow you to further help Canada's Indigenous people, Howard.
Yes. Mock away, yes. Mister. Mock away. But I am going to help our country's Indigenous.
I know you are.
Mark my words.
I know you are.
I'm going to bring golf to the Indigenous.
There are literally communities in this great country that they can't drink their tap water. Like, think about that.
Yeah. I think there's a place in Brantford where it's that close.
How we can't rectify that in 2021.
Thank you, Mike. This is what I'm saying.
It's pathetic.
It blows my mind. He's mocking me, but I've been telling you this. The fact that we are so easily making fun of Americans and their shit system, and yet we have people who don't have fresh drinking water that are living in conditions that if it was any other country, we'd all be like, oh, they're terrible.
And Canada has more fresh water within its boundaries than any other country in the world.
Exactly.
Imagine Rosedale suddenly had a problem with their water. How long would it take to get Rosedale clean, safe drinking water?
Oh, it wouldn't take at all. But remember, they're rich people. They give other people jobs.
Yeah, rich people make this world work, Mike. Dan and I have driven from Calgary to Banff and stopped. I don't know if you've ever done it with each other, but stopped on the side of the road, drank water fresh off a mountain. How can we not get that to the Indigenous?
Well, why don't the Indigenous move to the mountains then?
Oh, that's easy for you to say. You can go anywhere with your portable homes and your. Do you have any other sponsors? I can't. You were making some.
Yes.
Oh, the government, right?
Yes.
Finish off. We're going to finish off with the government.
Ontario's COVID-19 vaccine plan is helping to stop the spread and save lives. We're all vaccinated, we need to stay the course. Wear a mask, wash your hands, keep your distance. We've come so far together, and thousands of people across Ontario are getting vaccinated every day. Your turn is coming soon. Visit ontario.ca/COVID-vaccine-plan or call 1-888-999-6488 for assistance in 300 languages.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Toronto Mike. The podcast, hang around a second. Dan Duran, we will look for you this evening. Booner, do you want to? Well, we can talk. You want to jump? If you want to jump on, I don't know what you're doing with your family, or you want to jump on and say hi to everyone tonight, you're more than welcome.
I would love to, but I do every Thursday throughout this pandemic. I have pandemic Fridays.
And exactly.
It runs like 5:30 to like 7:30 or 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you're already recording.
I really wish I could join you.
All right. Well, one of these days. Everyone, enjoy your Humble and Fred 3 banger. Thanks to Ed the Sock. Thanks to Barb. Thanks to you. Still haven't gotten to 100 patrons, but maybe by next Thursday. Just clap your hands. Have a great weekend. Where's that?